We bring in Joe Smith, and we know it's sectional basketball week because we have all these wonderful, crazy forecasts doing. The IHSA tournament has begun, and after Tuesday night's convincing wins by the Northsiders and Southsiders, Joe, we get a rehash of, another doubleheader tonight.
Well, looking for the same results as Tuesday to give us another North-South sectional finale on Saturday night, but ahead of the Cougs and the Panthers tonight, the Central Trojans and Columbus East Olympians. The Trojans have been out of action since they fell to defending 3A state champion Greensburg back in late February. They're 10-14, but they've won 4 of 6, including a 2-overtime loss to Batesville, one of their rivals. So they come in knowing how to win, and they've upset the apple cart before in the local sectional. Cougars of Andy Hodson will take the next step towards defending its sectional championship with win number 16 tonight. Senior guard Tate Stewart, off a 26-point game the other night against Shelby, steps into the lineup and remains there. North looks for another hot start, and Coach Andy looking to continue to mix things up defensively. An effective 2-3 zone helped cause separation the other night against the Golden Bears. Holden Jastrzemski might be a key. He had 8 points and 7 rebounds in that sectional opener, and he looks to continue those numbers against the Trojans, who have decent size and guys who can go outside and hit the three ball like Shelbyville. Chalk Talk will open our coverage at 5:30. Tip-off will be at 6 o'clock. Well, like Tuesday night, it's another rematch for J.R. Holmes' 6th-ranked South Panthers facing red-hot Columbus East, the Olympians of Brent Chitty. They've won 6 in a row. They're 14-8 on the year. Senior Logan Kirby had his career best, and that was 19 points when the two met back in January. South won that game by 20. A night they shot a season-best 69%. South shot 60% the other night in beating Columbus North by 20. Senior Nick Elliott had a career-high 14, matched by freshman Chance Coyle, who had 17, and he has scored now 32 points in his last two coming off the bench. Panther guards Tucker Blackwell and Johnny Jager were held to 12 points against Columbus North. They scored 26 with 8 rebounds against East back in January. South looking for its 18th straight win tonight in Game 2. Chalk Talk with JR leading up to the tip for that game, game number 2 tonight. Following the Bloomington North win, doors will open up at 5 o'clock tonight. Edgewood steps out in defense of its sectional title, and they have won 3 straight. In the previous 3 marches, 6 o'clock at West Vigo, where they battled 14-7 Brown County, who beat them in early February 55-49, denying Edgewood a share of the WIC crown. Junior Braden Patton, perhaps the key in this one, a non-starter against the Eagles. He was held to 2 points that night. Edgewood struggled to shoot the ball against the Eagles, hitting only 32%, especially in the fourth quarter when Brown County outscored them 20-10 to come from behind to win that particular game. A win puts Edgewood in Saturday night's title game against the winner emerging from the West Vigo-Owen Valley Game 2 this evening at West Vigo. Edgewood currently 12-9 on the year. Don't forget Bob Lovell in Indiana Sports Talk with all of the sectional scores and details. It'll be joined in progress after our twin bill tonight. And the best of luck out to Bloomington North and South gymnasts. They'll compete in the first leg of the state girls gymnastics tournament. It unfolds with the sectional tonight, 6 o'clock over at Columbus East.
So a busy night on the mats, on the beams, and obviously on the hardwood, Joe, as well. And North and East Central, this is a matchup where these teams don't get together during the regular season because no one's really sure how to get to East Central or where it is.
Well, you go up to take 74 to St. Leon.
You go to Cincinnati.
And go over on Route 1 to Cincinnati.
Oh, boy. And then you come back. But Columbus East and South have gotten together, the Conference Indiana foes, and South with a convincing win there. So best of luck to both of those teams coming up tonight. And we stay on the hoops, Joe, as you got a big one tomorrow at the Assembly Hall.
Yeah, an early start with the final regular season game and a must-win situation, obviously. We threw that word in following the Iowa loss. So they know what needs to be done, obviously, but a tough cookie in Michigan State. So it's an early start at a little past 12 noon, and we'll see what happens.
And the Hoosiers in the 7th or 8th seed, that's not going to change. Right now, if it ended, they would be the number 7 seed. They have a 9-8 record. If they win, they're 10-8, and Illinois cannot catch them. Indiana has the tiebreaker because the teams played once, and Indiana defeated Illinois earlier in the season. If Illinois happens to win at Purdue on Saturday afternoon after the game and Indiana stumbles, I believe those two will flip places because they, Illinois would have one more victory. I'm not a math guy, but I think I can even figure that one out. Wisconsin, though, they don't care. They are champions by themselves after their win last night at Minnesota, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of team they put on the court. Where are they, Chuck? At Ohio State on Sunday? Where are the Buckeyes at?
The Buckeyes play at home against Wisconsin.
That's right. Bucky Badger takes the trophy to Ohio State on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's right. 4:30 game.
They might. Who knows who plays in that game with nothing to play for in that one?
So, I think the big flip flop between a 7 and 8 is the difference in starting time. You're either going to play at noon on Thursday or 6:30 game.
Right.
So
that's right.
And it's 6:30 games both days, I believe, if you are the 7 seed. So,
a 7 seed plays at 6:30. If you're an 8 seed, you'll play at noon, kicking off Thursday session.
Yep. So either lunch bunch or, but we need,
we'll see.
Indiana needs to shoot the ball better. Joe,
let's
need
just
to get
take
after
care
it.
Of ourselves.
And as Coach Dane Fife, assistant coach Dane Fife, was telling me earlier this morning, Michigan State they've got some of the same issues as well, playing, getting after it all day long, and it'll be a tough battle tomorrow.
Yep.
So you've got a doubleheader tonight, a doubleheader tomorrow, and
yep.
I bet you'll put your feet up and watch the World Golf Championships all day Sunday.
Well, my golfers better start playing a little bit better than they did in round one, but it's 4 rounds of golf at high quality level, so yeah, that's the plan anyway.
Trump National Doral down there, the Blue Monster in Miami. Joe, I couldn't pick a winner in a 2-man scramble if one guy withdrew.
I tell you what.
That's where I'm at right now.
Well, let's hope the winds subside a little at Doral.
Let's keep them blowing as hard as they can, because then if you have a good round, you can get back into it.
Yeah, I guess.
Jeff Overton is down in Puerto Rico. He finished his round +1 yesterday in a very windy day at the Trump course down there, so we'll keep an eye on all that. We'll get caught up Monday morning with all of the results from gymnastics and the basketball on multiple fronts, plus the baseball and everything else going on at the IU level as well.
Nope. Problem.
All right, now stay warm, and we'll get good weather next week, as I promised you. If we can just get through this weekend, we'll hopefully turn the page.
Yeah, I saw that. Keep it up.
But remember, when you go to Chicago next week, you're on your own. I don't want any. I can't help you there.
Well, where we've been over traveling, we've been to some frigid spots, so we'll throw Chicago in there. It's not going to be anything out of the norm.
And exactly right. Been there, done that. All right, Smitty. And we'll hear you tonight, 5:30.
All righty, Chuck. See you guys.
Take care.
Well, the weather always is strange during high school sectional basketball week, and this week has been no different. We've seen rain, we've seen snow, we've seen sleet and everything else, but it didn't stop the city teams, Joe, from doing a great job on Tuesday. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but there's also a very big basketball game tomorrow at noon on ESPN against Michigan State, and the women, their regular season has ended as well. So let's jump in with the Hoosier beat and get us off and running here on a Friday.
Well, just win, baby, and a much-needed win Saturday on the home court would certainly take most of the bubble guesswork out of the Hoosiers' future. They hopefully will find a way to beat Tom Izzo and Michigan State at noon on Saturday, ESPN. Hoosiers in back-to-back losses here late in the season, punctuated by the inability to shoot the basketball. 2 sub-40% nights have left the Hoosiers reeling a bit. That and decision-making. What is a good shot? What isn't? Recognition, execution. The intangible keys against MSU, who finds themselves locked in a four-way tie for third at 11-6, so they've got plenty to play for. Hoosiers will either be the 7th or the 8th seed. We can tell you that next Thursday at the United Center in Chicago as we begin the postseason. The future beyond that, well, uncertain. What is certain is taking care of what's at hand, and that's this basketball game tomorrow. Little room for error. Colin Hartman is due back, which you'd like to think will help both ends of the court, offensively and defensively, and we'll see how things unfold. The Hoosiers certainly know what is at stake, and they know what they have to do against the team that beat them in the second game of the season, but they beat them up bad. So it's a little redemption time tomorrow for Indiana. Dyra Buss had 19, but it wasn't enough, as number 22 Rutgers ended Indiana's season at 15-16. 63-52 up in Chicago at Hoffman Estates at the Sears Center yesterday in round 2 of the Big Ten tournament. lack of offensive flow was hurtful as the Hoosiers went through about a six-minute drought the opening half. They trailed by 9 at half, and then Rutgers went on a little run of 12-4 and put them out of the game. Carly McBride finished with 10. Amanda Cahill had 8 points and 6 rebounds, but certainly the future bright for Terry Morin's crew as they close out the regular season. Elsewhere on the IU sports beat, more baseball, the Snowbird Baseball Classic down in the sunny Port Charlotte, Florida, for Chris Lemonis and the 4-4 Hoosiers, who will have Villanova, Dartmouth, St. Joe, and Ball State over the course of the weekend, and then 5 straight home games opening up the season out at the BART next Tuesday. Eastern Michigan in town both Tuesday and Wednesday. The Big Ten Wrestling Championships will be held this weekend at Ohio State. Division I pins leader Taylor Walsh, the redshirt senior, leading the IU contingent at 165, 21 pins and counting for Taylor. And the Big Fluid 5, the Water Polo Classic at the Councilman Billingsley Aquatic Center unfolding for Barry King's crew, who have on a hot streak as of late. They've won 6 of their last 7. Activity will start at 11:30 both Saturday and Sunday, as Indiana will welcome in Michigan, Hartwick, and UC Irvine through Sunday at the CBAC for Barry King's water polo crew. So that's a glance at the Hoosier capsule. And Glass, as you mentioned, plenty of high school basketball semifinal Friday unfolding later tonight.
And right here live on the airways, Chalk Talk with Coach Hodson and yourself at 5:30. East Central and North get things started 6 o'clock. And then the 20 minutes or so in between games, we'll chalk talk it up with J.R. Holmes as the South Panthers have won 17 straight. They take on Columbus East in game number 2. Notice I did not tell you what time that second game is going to be because our crystal ball is good, but it's not that good.
Yeah.
Because everybody's playing for their lives. The sectional is over. Teams foul a little bit differently maybe than they would, knowing the end could be near, or you get a double overtime game. Just pop it on WGCL or WGCLradio.com at 5:30 and enjoy the ride. And Bob Lovell Sports Talk will get you caught up on all the finals that will be coming up on Saturday night. And you'll be courtside for that as well.
Hopefully it'll be north and south, and Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock with both coaches. And the tip-off will be at 7:30. And obviously at stake there will be a ticket to the very, very tough Seymour Regional, which is the following Saturday.
And the Hoosiers in action tomorrow noon on ESPN, welcoming Michigan State to town, Joe, the 18th and final regular season game. Indiana is going to be the 7th or the 8th seed in the Big Ten tournament. They cannot get any higher than 7 because the next layer of folks have 11 wins, and Indiana has 9, so the math doesn't work there. And then Illinois is on 9 wins as well. So if the Hoosiers win on Saturday, which we hope they do, they will be in permanent marker in the 7th seed, regardless of what the Fighting Illini does, because a tie means Indiana, with the regular season victory in Champaign, wins that series straight up, and that's your tiebreak, correct?
That is the tiebreak.
So Indiana would be would be the 7. If the Hoosiers falter and Illinois wins, then they will flip positions in that. But it is the tournament starts next Wednesday, Joe. That means a Thursday game. Would that be correct?
Right. Depending on the flip-flop, the 8th seed will play at noon and the 7th seed will play at 6:30 next Thursday.
Well, we vote for 6:30 on that. And because you know why? Because that means Indiana will have won.
Yes.
And that's what the Hoosiers need to do. Need to find their shooting boots, Joe. Need to find their legs. And Michigan State has everything to play for as well. If the Spartans win, they control what's going on. They will be the 3 seed because they have every tiebreaker imaginable. I believe I read that accurately. If they lose and things happen, they could drop as far as 6th. So it's all to play for tomorrow, seating-wise, bubble-wise, RPI-wise. There are no nights off in the Big Ten.
No nights off. And an added note, since there's no seniors on this Tom Crean team.
Good stuff. I forgot about that. Good job.
We do have the 40th anniversary of the team that Bob Knight labeled many, many times the best one he ever coached, and that's that unbeaten 29-0 75 ball club. And Steve Green, Steve Alfeld, who, of course, is one of our team physicians, John Kampstra, the super sub, John Laskowski, all on hand for a little seniors post-game activity at the hall after the hopeful win against MSU.
Great stuff, and it's always fun to relive the history, especially
teams. Yeah, I remember that game well.
Well, and teams that are that good, it just kind of puts in perspective what Kentucky is doing right now, and God, could it be anybody but Kentucky, but it is, and we just have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But it makes the rest of the college basketball universe remember just how good those teams, the 74, 75, and 75, 76 Hoosiers were. What, 62-1 when it was all said and done?
Well, and I think a lot of that revolved too, as you talked with Dane Fife, being on that 0-2 Final Four team and national championship runner-up team, TEAM. And there's a big difference, as Dane explained, between basketball of today and even when he played on that 0-2 team, and then going back four decades to the 74-5 ball club that, you know, won them all in the regular season. Yeah, a big change in how things are played at the collegiate level, but and how tough it was, Glass, to get those W's and to sustain it night in, night out.